Hi, it's just coming up to 11:42 on Phoenix 98 FM, and joining me in the studio is writer Ian Brown. He's worked over 30 years working as a journalist, writer and producer. Ian has worked across news, documentaries, comedy, entertainment specials. Most recently, he's been working with Paul Whitehouse and Charlie Higson of the Fast Show fame, and he's also written and produced for the likes of Simon Cowell, Anton Deck, Harrison Ford, Jamie Oliver, Pierce Brosnan, and also worked EastEnders, Casualty, Emmerdale, Coronation Street. But today Ian's here to talk about the Bruvs. Here's a little sample of a theme tune. We're a Bruv. You want to get used to hearing that because you will be hearing it on Dave at the moment. So very good morning to you. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
And thank you very much. We've got T-shirts for the boys as well.
Yes. Well, we like to be very generous at the Bruvs, mainly because we're desperate for promotion and plugging and publicity and all that goes with it. Because although, as you say, we're on Dave, we're still, and we have a bit of a cult status, we're still pretty small, and we are a very small setup. You know, there's very few of us who are involved with making it. Nowadays in telly and such like, people talk about passion projects, and you hear it in music as well, obviously. And my definition of a passion project is you just persuade some other people or twits to come in on a project with you for no money and try and make it a success, which is really what we're doing with the Bruvs. It's a very, very exciting project for me. Part of the thinking behind the Bruvs, because although there have been other animated things in the UK, like there was Monkey Dust, which was like a sketch show, and in fact my esteemed award-winning, multi-award-winning animation director, Owen Clark, did some of the animation on Monkey Dust.
That's brilliant.
So there's a similar, slightly similar feel on some of it to that. And there have been other, you know, animations in the UK. There's no animated sitcom as such. It's a thing that the Americans just seem to embrace. Now, there are many reasons why there isn't such a thing in the UK. As I discovered quite a few years ago when I first started to tout the Bruvs around, a couple of the main reasons are it's an incredibly time-consuming process to do animation, and it's a very expensive process when you don't persuade someone to come in on it with you for sort of nothing or very little to just try and make it go. It's massive. You look at the credits for The Simpsons or Family Guy or whatever, they go on forever. There are hundreds and hundreds of people that work on those shows. You look at animation movies, you know, Shrek and Toy Story and all those things. Thousands of people work on those.
Now, we're talking about the Bruvs. It started about 2 years ago. You've got 15 films online, 11 episodes at the moment running on Dave. So for people who haven't seen it, I don't know, is this lunchtime, Bill? It sounds like we should be going to school.
I'm having flashbacks. I'll swap you my cheesy triangle for your cheesy Watsits.
Did you used to have those trays? Do you remember the trays you used to get at school, or did you go to a really posh school?
I went to a fairly posh school.
Oh, you had a proper plate. I had a plastic tray.
Yeah, well, we had trays now and then, and we did have little pack up lunches and that. You know, my first schools were all about packed lunches and things, but I'm getting all
sorry,
wistful there.
Just waiting to see if any of the noises are going to come back. Now, the Bruvs, as we said, started 2 years ago. You've got, for people who haven't seen the Bruvs, which is Den and Doug, what is their backstory? And just give us a history of who they are and where they come from.
The Bruvs are principally two brothers, Doug and Den Bruv. Doug's girlfriend, West Essex girl, Weg Chanterelle, who is fond of a spray tan, but I'm then going to say more about Chanterelle in a second. Their sister Janice and her son Jason, and Old Man Bruv, who is the brother's and their sister's dad. Now, Old Man Bruv used to run a bit of a dodgy criminal empire, if you like, in London. He's kind of retired now. The brothers have kind of taken over, but they are trying to make a clean start of it, trying to go straight, going to legit business in Essex. And indeed, Brentwood and the environs is possibly the hub of it all. But we never really say precisely where their new abode is. Mm. But they're trying to settle into the world of cargo shorts, frothy coffees and such like. But it doesn't go well. They fail big time. most episodes end in some sort of violence, generally between Dan and Doug themselves, because they like to keep it in the family.
Yeah.
And they also prove that blood is thicker. And so, you know, I just love these characters. And, you know, it's great to bring them to life. It was a real effort for a few years to tout it round. No broadcasters were particularly interested because, as I said earlier, it was very expensive, very time-consuming to do on that basis. But we got to a certain point, and I just said, look, I believe in these characters, this animation. I think we should have a go at it. And as I say, Owen came in on it, and some other people have joined us, like our wonderful editor and sound guy, Paul Richmond, and the guys who do the music, who were in charge of that wonderful theme tune, Stig Winslet and Pete Harbour, who are just amazing. It's just a thrill to be working with these guys, as I say, bringing these characters to life.
But, you know, if you've not actually seen any of the animation, give the look.
Characters themselves are sort of shaven-headed, quite bulky, let's say, tattooed gentlemen of sort of East London origin. We have had so many people online, on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever, say, that's my brother, that's my dad, that's my uncle, that's my neighbour, that is so-and-so. And then they tag people in their messages and that, and there is a great deal of recognition. They're based on people that are around.
Yeah.
I actually live a little way away, sort of East London, Essex borders, but, you know, these people are out there, let's face it. And we're not insulting them in any way. I think they're amazing, and I think that, you know, bringing them to life like this and to have the recognition means we've kind of got it right, I hope, because you do need a bit of recognition in comedy characters. You know, as out there as Del Boy might have been, you knew what Del Boy was all about, and you kind of knew someone probably who was a bit like Del Boy if you visited a market ever or something like that. You know, you knew what he was on about. And I will now go back to the wonderful Chanterelle, who is, you know, basically a very spray-tanned wag. But in our new episode, which is only on YouTube, we've got 11 episodes up on Dave and their catch-up service, UK TV Play. But we've got a few other episodes which are newer on our YouTube channel only, and that's where all our new episodes will go first. There's a new episode called Talking with Dinosaurs. There's a whole revelation. There's a whole new side to Chanterelle that is revealed, and that's something we've been trying to do for ages since we started, because we didn't want Chanterelle to be a cliche, and that was not what we're about. There is this complete other side of Chanterelle, you know, and you need to watch it to find out.
With the voices for the brothers, you always get one that's got like, hello, love, all right, and then you get one that's got a slightly higher.
Mainly to have them be differentiated. It's very difficult. If they were both sounding too similar, you wouldn't have the two characters, and it's quite an effort actually to perform them.
Do you do the voices?
I have to say I do.
Both of them?
Yes.
You're and like Seth MacFarlane.
And Chanterelle.
Wow.
As well. But there is some technical trickery in there as well. Going into a bit of animation lore, if you like. The Simpsons, for example, amazing show, started as shorts on, as a filler on the Tracy Ullman sketch show. It was the same people doing the voices, but in the original animations, the voice for Homer, the dad, for example, is different.
Yes,
considerably different. When you see the original cartoons, you know, you think, oh, that's not Homer, but it is. And so the voice evolved. So now we've only been going a short while, but even from our very first cartoon, which is actually Dentist, which is quite a graphic episode, the voices are slightly different to how they're done now, partly because of the sheer pain that was involved in trying to reach certain voices over any period of time to get them right. So we've settled into what the voices are and what the characters are as well. They've developed as well, such as Chanterelle. And it's, you know, it's just great. It's a very rewarding thing to do. It's in every way except financially at the moment, I have to say.
When you're sitting around the table and you're thinking about putting together an episode, how does it work? Quite a complicated process, isn't it?
It is. I've been a writer in various forms now, as you said, for more than 20 years, you know, newspapers, very tail end of Fleet Street, through television, worked on the Big Red Book tribute show, This Is Your Life, which is an amazing thing to do. Worked on various forms of Top Gear and with Jeremy Clarkson for about 20 years. You know, I have written over the years in different styles. What I find with this is that probably come up with the payoff first. So what is the funny ending? And then it's how you get to that point. But it's all kind of there before you start to write it. And it's a very... I'm going to get a bit sort of airy-fairy, arty-what's-it. to describe. It's very hard to describe. I don't know how it happens. I'm very lucky or I'm rubbish. I don't know. You know, it depends on your opinion on what is done. It sort of comes almost fully formed. It evolves further when we go to record the voices, and obviously Owen and others have their input, particularly on part of it is budget conscious, because it's crikey, it would take us forever to do that move or that background scene or something. Let's change it to this because I can do that in 3 days or something like that. You know, it's, but that's again a part of the process. It's sort of rewarding to have to adapt to budgetary and time limitations, you know. Do the voices first, and then Owen will go away and get busy animating. What he has now is sort of a library store, if you like, of, particularly for the brothers, all sorts of angles of their faces and their jawline, which will create every vocal position that is required. We record the voices, we adapt the script at that point, and then Owen will go away and start to animate.
How long is it to actually make an episode?
It is probably, if we were flat out on it, we could probably do one every 4 or 5 weeks, but actually we're not, because we have bills to pay. So generally most of it, we are all doing other projects simultaneously, and that sounds very grand to say you've got a TV series running but you do other things, but it's not like that really. You know, we have to do a day job, if you like, and we fit in the Bruvs as we can. Now, I've been very lucky just recently, because we've gone on to Dave and UK TV Play, to be a bit more full time on it, and you know, particularly on the social media side and that. And so it is growing on that side. You know, the Facebook page and Twitter page and all that are all growing, and it's good to see. You know, we've got some incredibly loyal fans out there, you know, in Essex and beyond, also all over the place. But the fact that we started online on YouTube and we're on Facebook and Twitter and whatever means you are instantly international. You know, so we've got some incredibly loyal fans in Florida, in Chicago, in Australia, across Europe, in Holland and such like, or the Netherlands, I should say. You know, it's just amazing to see where the comments come in from and who's sharing it, liking it, whatever. You know, I've never done a project quite like this that is so social media dependent. Join us. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check us out all over the place.
I like Jeremy Clarkson. I think he's brilliant on television. I know he's gone away from the BBC. He'll come back at some stage, because he's gone off to what did he go off to?
Amazon Prime.
That was it. I watched a bit of it on Amazon Prime, which is very, very good. So did you actually write his, because I thought he was naturally funny. I didn't know you'd scripted all of it.
Oh no, I don't. Nothing is scripted. It's he is his own writer, very much so. But over the years, I sort of became another role under the producer heading, if you like, is more an organising role. I mean, that started out 20-odd years ago, can you believe it, before there was any hint of health and safety in anyone's lives. We would sort of hire the corner of an active runway somewhere in the Cotswolds, for example, and we would borrow cars from press offices of car companies before they really were allowing you to do the things that he ended up doing with them, you know, screeching the tyres and all that sort of business. He would do the driving himself, no stunt drivers, whatever. We wouldn't have, it's almost confessional this, but truly, who knew? There were no paramedics on standby, no fire services on standby. You know, you didn't know where the local hospital was necessarily. It was just a different world where, obviously, common sense was still very much part of what we were doing. We had walkie-talkies, we were in touch with the tower, we knew when planes were coming in, all that sort of thing. But it is another world to what it became. And in that time, you know, I mean, it became that if we filmed somewhere, you would hire the circuit exclusive use for a day or 2 days. You could have 40 or 50 cars there at one time. You could have 4 stunt drivers doing things. You'd have specialist engineers building ramps and God knows what. You would have helicopters to film from, now drones, sometimes helicopters and drones. You'd have paramedics, fire service. You'd maybe have an helicopter ambulance. It was massive, you know, it became massive and is massive, and that's what those guys now do when they do the Grand Tour and they do Top Gear for BBC Two.
Wow. And Jeremy, he tweeted you, didn't he?
He did, and very sweetly called me useless, which, you know, I take, there were commas around it. So yep. Among his fans, there was quite a hullabaloo about, you know, is this, the one and all that sort of
yes,
business.
Yes, the special one, yeah.
But I'm not.
No.
And actually, you know, I don't think he was calling me useless, I hope, anyway. And so now on the Bravs, we have hashtag useless and proud. So,
yeah.
We've embraced the comment. And very sweetly, he mentioned at the Bravs TV, which is our Twitter address and our Facebook address. So, you know, I worked with him for over 20 years. I think I got away with it, as it were. But, I have to say, one of the hardest working men in showbiz, which is, sounds a very showbizy thing to say.
Mm.
But, you know, his dedication to what he makes as programming is incredible to see. You know,
yeah.
Incredible.
And I don't like Cars, but I would still watch it because it
no,
was,
well, that was
it
the
was
thing.
It was just that, you know, I it just it dragged you well, just dragged you in. You just
well, that was the thing. He would always have said. He always said when they reinvented Top Gear that he was making it for his mum and his 8-year-old son, and therefore that's the span of age and sex. I think they cracked it, didn't they?
I did actually think while I was watching it this morning, I thought of another character for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I've obviously never worked in television or done anything, but I thought my opinion might count for nothing.
I'll just get my pen out. Hold on.
And stabbing me in the face with it. I thought you could have a character that is, because if it's based in Essex, just a woman. I know you've got Chanterelle, but it's just a woman that she never talks, but she just has eyebrows. And you just see her in a shop doorway every episode, says nothing, but she's got horrendous eyebrows and they're different every week. Because that is a thing to do with Essex. I don't know if you've noticed. Not so much
it
here.
It has been observed, yes.
It's just those great big kind of chunky, you know, you can't see anything else but
yeah,
eyebrows.
No, they're out our way too. Yeah, no, it has been noted and we may well yet introduce some eyebrows into the... into the characters.
Can we have a little bit of an introduction from your characters to Phoenix FM?
Right, you lot, listening to Phoenix 98 FM. Or Doug and me will be coming around and having a word in your show like.
Yes, that's amazing! And you've got the same... Did they copy your mouth? Because you look very similar to the cartoon... Although you're not...
It's called Character Darling.
Yes.
I just throw myself into it. I'm immersed in the character.
That's very good.
I don't know. That was probably even too deep, actually, for what it is. It's very difficult. I have to... When we go in and we start, I have to sort of tune my ear again to it. And I am tone deaf, which, bringing me full circle, if you like, you very kindly played the theme tune... And we're another one we're working on, which is coming out any second, actually, is an extended version of the theme song. So we've got a full-on pop video with some sort of, if you like, homage to things like Bohemian Rhapsody, the video, and things like that, you know, with their faces going into the distance and all that. I got a chance to sing on this thing. It's not me doing the principal vocals, but we're in the chorus and all that sort of business, and they're layered and layered to sound like a crowd.
Yeah.
And there's only five of us. In total, although various people were roped in as they walked past our muso's house, I think, just to sing into this microphone now.
Yes.
Make it sound Essex. And I was rejected from every choir I ever wanted to sing with. I love singing in the shower and in the car, but it isn't fit for human consumption, actually. So it was a great thrill to discover there was this technology out there that could, bury my voice, but also allow me to sing on our own theme tune.
Thank you so much. You brought in a mug and some lovely T-shirts, so thank you so much for that. That's really lovely. If you do want to check out the show, you can go on to YouTube. It is on Dave as well, and it's called The Bruvs, B-R-U-V-S. You're on Twitter, you're on Facebook...
Yeah, there's various easy ways. You can go to thebruvs.com, which is our website hub, if you like, and all the links are there. And then pretty much everything else is at thebruvs TV.
Brilliant. So, yeah, so I'm basically sitting here talking to Ian, who will be like Seth MacFarlane probably another year or two. And I'll use that little section. I'll be playing this interview and living off it for days.
And we will send you the invoice. That'll be great.
But I'll be allowed
because
to
we'll be mean and nasty by then.
Oh, yeah, she'll be a bit controlling.
Money
like that.
Grabbing. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody about
our
this.
Lawyers probably will be in touch.